Hey everybody, this is Senior Pastor Joshua B. Carson saying thank you for tuning into the CT Podcast. We hope that your time here, whether you're driving down the road or whether you're sitting at home with a journal and listening in, we hope that it's effective. Maybe it'll be inspirational, encouraging, maybe it'll be thought-provoking. Regardless of what session you're listening to, we truly pray that this is a benefit to you and to your family. God bless and enjoy the podcast.
Really is amazing how the book of Philippians, this letter is leading us to tonight for this communion service. Paul is commissioning, and as we have studied together and rejoiced together over the last 4 weeks, Paul is leading us by writing to this church and reminding us we can stand fast. We can live for God. In fact, in the opening verse of this final chapter in this short letter, he utilizes the ancient Greek word for crown here. It's describing the crown given not to a king, but to a winning athlete for achievement, as you know, the games of that day. And as we spoke of in the very first week, Philippians or Philippi being a mini Rome, the games were very familiar to them. And so in the setting and in the context of the day, he speaks about a crown. Ladies and gentlemen, I remind us that in the heavenly citizenship language of this letter, from that time until now, it is still more important that we are focused on a crown that is beyond the cheers of this world and the athletic endeavors and the games of this world. I'd like to take verses 2 through 9, and I want to read them here together and then frame them in a little bit. I beseech Yodius, and I beseech Synche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Everyone say the same mind. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. How often? And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known. Unto whom? All men. He's saying, let your consideration be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful. Be careful for what? Nothing. He's not saying don't be careful. He's saying stop worrying. Paul said, if I'm not worrying where I'm at, stop worrying. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. It's a good reminder to us that we should give thanks as we ask. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Has anybody heard some of these verses over and over and over? I don't want you to raise your hand, but I've heard multiple times and even myself been reminded. I forgot how many of these verses that we quote so often are tucked away in this very small epistle. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And he goes on and says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true and whatsoever things are honest and whatsoever things are just and whatsoever things are pure and whatsoever things are lovely and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. He's dealing here in the first nine verses with unity, rejoicing, and peace. I want to make sure that when we quote Scripture, we quote it understanding the context of the Scripture. No doubt you have heard some of these Scriptures and even quoted these Scriptures numerous times before. But it is important for us to remember where they set within this letter to the church at Philippi. And in his concluding chapter, as it is so divided for us, he opens telling them to stand and to stand fast and speaking to them of the crown, of this crown, this achievement. But he goes into, in the second verse, what will set up the rest of the next seven verses to follow. He starts addressing a disagreement between two women. Sometimes in the King James, we can miss, and so we have to spend a little time with the Bible and not simply do our speed reading and punch our time clock and say we got our bread done or listen to it on audio Bible at 2 speed. You laugh because you've been there. But if we look at what is happening here, there are two women that are in a disagreement. And Paul is going to take about 8 verses in a row and tell them there needs to be unity in the body. And these are good women. They have been great workers for the kingdom of God. How many know that good people can get into disagreements? Good people. Both probably right in some way. Disagreement in the body is no new thing. As long as there are personality differences, there will be disagreements. One person would handle it this way. Another person will handle it this way. Another person will handle it this way. If you don't believe it, get a bunch of pastors together. Get a bunch of ladies that they all make, let's just say they all make banana bread. You get 10 women that are the best banana bread bakers this side of the Mississippi. They're all going to make it a little different. Be careful how many cooks are in the kitchen, how many foremen are on the job. And the sayings and the cliches go on. But Paul had to address them in this closing chapter with some of the great things he was about to say to them. The very next verse, in fact, talking about these fellow workers and laborers, focusing on something way bigger than the disputes of this world, that we must have our names in the book of life. Whew. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul was giving us a forever truth here, that simple issues of life should never take our focus off of what binds us together. We are bound together as laborers for Christ Jesus. And so he begins this trajectory of saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your consideration be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And I'm going to tell you how it's easy to keep disagreement alive. It's easy to keep quarreling alive if you think that his coming is not soon. But if we start to think the day of the Lord is at hand, and the splitting of the eastern sky and the reality of heavenly citizenship is closely upon us. How many still believe we know not the day nor the hour? We're just not sure when it's happening. In fact, we trust Scripture that there may be two in the bed and one will be taken and one will remain. There will be one grinding at the mill and one will be taken and one will remain. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I want to live like it could take place today. For he cometh like a thief in the night, and whether it be by grave or by rapture or the carrying away or the catching away of the church, Paul is admonishing them that your heavenly citizenship changes the way you treat each other. I know that in many Rome and Philippi, disagreements can fester, but the relationships in the church are not supposed to mirror the relationships in the world. He said the relationships in the church at Philippi cannot mirror the relationships that are taking place in many Rome. While they're chasing athletic crowns, we're chasing heavenly crowns. And while they are dealing with each other in a way where they can disregard each other's emotions and they are spilling blood for sport, we are looking unto Jesus, who is the author. And be it said about our church, I pray in 2024 that we are of the same mind, that we do not allow any silly things to arise where disagreements become the thing we focus upon. He begins to unfold this a little bit. He's talking to the entire body after addressing this situation with the women. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. How many know it's tough to keep a disgruntled spirit and a spirit of thanksgiving at the same time? Get into a spirit of thanksgiving and it will change that disgruntled spirit. You start thanking God for who you are and for what you've got. It's the eternal value that you are dealing with. It is the elimination in verse 6 of that worry and of that fear. It's happening through prayer and thanksgiving. And in verse 7 and 8, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep what? Your hearts and your minds through your ability, through your good looks, through the fact that you're part of the church, so everything you do is right. No, through the only thing that gives us real joy and peace and satisfaction anyway, it's not an it, it's a who, through Christ Jesus. And then he goes on saying, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely. I've quoted that so many times. Haven't you heard that so many times? Haven't you? Why would I think on these things? And it works in every setting. If you get your mind in a negative place, you got to get back and start thinking on things that are righteous. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. But Paul has just addressed a situation within the church. Here's what he's telling us tonight. When you start to think about the disagreement, you need to remember, if all you allow is the negativity of what they did to you and how they hurt you or how you disagree with them, if you focus on that, there's no way for you to focus on the things of God and the negativity and the disagreement at the same time. This is a journey in Christ. You've got to move forward. You've got to allow. Listen, we love to quote this as believers. We love to quote that old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But if we are not careful, we are new believers that hold on to old hurts. We want the old man to die while we hug the old hurts. You don't need to drink coffee with the old hurts. You don't need to wake up in the morning and greet the old hurts. You need to wake up in the morning and say, blessed be the name of the Lord, and get your mind focused, not on what somebody did wrong to you. Listen, there might be a disagreement, and they were both godly women. This is the hardest part of this. They're both godly women. Paul's going to say, listen, Clement, help me out here. Fellow workers, help me out here. These are both godly women. They've been good. They've done good work. They're both probably a little right. But if they spend time focusing on their disagreement, then they cannot give thought. And in fact, teaching on in the church, no one in the church can give the proper thought to the proper things. I want to have my mind focused. So he said, so here's what you ought to do. You ought to follow what you've learned and what you've received and what you've heard and what you've seen in me. What you've seen, do that. Do that. Verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me hath flourished again. Starts talking here in verses 10 through 19 about giving and receiving and contentment in Christ. Paul is so thankful that they have given unto him. And the way that you read the verse, it almost sounds like Paul wasn't real happy, but that's not what Paul was saying. Paul was thankful. He understands they could not give unto him until this time. Read on with me in verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Isn't it amazing? This is the book where that's at. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Verse 12, everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and hungry, to abound and to suffer need. One thing Paul does is he addresses the fact that they are givers is a blessing to them. Had somebody tell me years ago, well, I feel guilty to ask the people to give. And those that know me know that I'm very guarded with how we ask for offerings, and we try to be extremely transparent for the way finances are spent. We try to be extremely transparent, and we don't come very often for offerings. But I will tell you this, when we do come for offerings, I do not feel guilt. I refuse because I don't want someone that knows a burden not to come to me and give me an opportunity to be blessed to sow into the kingdom of God. There is a blessing, and Paul was teaching them at Philippi. Now listen, this is an incredible church. This is the first church to be recognized for financially supporting the missionary work of Paul. This is the first church that's going to be financially giving, and they have not been able to give in some time. And so he addresses what a blessing it is. But he tells them, I've got to let you know, though, because I'm going to need you to model. He had just told them, I'm going to need you to model what you see in me, whether abased or abounding. Whether I'm in the valley low, in the very pit, or if I am on the mountaintop, I have learned how to find contentment in God. Because if my contentment is in material things, then material things have become my God. That's a whole lesson right there. But if my contentment is really only true and my praise is really only thorough when I feel as though my material needs have met, and then I say, thank you, God, I've got these material things that I needed, then if we're not careful, what we have done is subconsciously made God good when the material things are present, but God bad. Spurgeon wrote this way, there are a great many men that know a little how to be abased that do not know at all how to abound. When they are put down into the pit with Joseph, they look up and see a starry promise and they hope for an escape. But when they are put on the top of a pinnacle, their heads grow dizzy and they are ready to fall. God forbid that I can only live in contentment of worshiping God when I am without. There was an entire doctrine built around this where no one was allowed, and there was scripture pulled out of context as to where no one could be blessed, because if they were blessed, surely they couldn't be in the will of God. Now, I'm telling you, whether being blessed material, financial, whatever that comes to, at the end of the day, you can't take any of this with you when you go, nor can I. So we better make sure that our Lord is never the material. That we never confuse that, and that we can find ourselves content. Think about this. This is the framework for which he is going to write one of the most famous verses, most heavily quoted verses, maybe after the John 3:16 that Brother Brown used on Sunday. Because the very next verse after him saying that he could find contentment whether he was abased or did abound, he said, I can do all things. Brother Williams, he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And there are people that have taken this and made this a triumphant or even a supernatural verse to try to make you walk up to the edge of a building or a car and say, oh! Sorry, that's not what this verse is talking about. Even though I think the Spirit of the Lord can come upon you and help you to accomplish things. And I think the Holy Ghost gives you great faith. And I think it can allow some things to open up. But what Paul is addressing here through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost is whether I've got a good day or a bad day, whether I've got blessings or whether I am abased, I can do all things, whether I'm in prison or house arrest, whether I'm there with you in Philippi or I'm not, whether I'm in a place where I'm locked down or walking in liberty, whether I am being shipwrecked or beaten, or whether I'm standing in front of Felix, I can do all things, not by my own ability, but through Christ. He's the one who strengthens me. Verse 14 through 19, notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. He said it was good that you did that. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only, for even Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that I may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I'm full, and having received, here it is, what we talked about in the very first week when we were talking Epaphroditus here. This is the deliverer. This is the one who has brought the gift, the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable. It's well pleasing to God, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Paul told them, you can't bless the man of God and the work of God and him not bless you and God not bless you. He can supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Now I'm going to tell you, of all the financial investments you can make, there is none as sure as his riches in glory. Let the stock market crash. Let stocks just go all over the place. Those of you following S&P, those of you that are looking all over and you're trying to invest here and there, those that got 401ks. And I think we ought to be wise about retirement. You hear me teach on this. But no earthly retirement is ever going to be as grand as the eternal retirement that we are preparing for. And he tells them without any guilt and unabashedly, he tells them, you blessing the man of God and you blessing the work of God. Even when I was there at Thessalonica and you sending this guy to me. And that's what I love about him calling this gentleman. This seems like a young man by name. Thank you so much for utilizing him, because talk at some point has to turn into action. Good intentions. Listen, I believe in driving past people and saying, bless them, Lord. But at some point, the Lord saying, okay, bless them. He said, even though I couldn't find contentment, you know I'd be blessed by your generosity and you did a good thing. He was moved by it. God shall supply all your need. Martin wrote it this way, the rewarding will not be merely from his wealth, but also in a manner that befits his wealth, on a scale worthy of his wealth. Oh, there's none like Jesus. There's none like Jesus. It exemplifies what we have read in the book of Luke, Luke 6 and 38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you. Again, Pastor, I thought we were taking communion, not taking up an offering. We're not taking up an offering. We're receiving tonight the offering of his body. He gave it all for us. He gave it all. And the least I can do is sow into the kingdom of God. It's easy to teach this here because we have such a giving church. We have such a giving congregation. Thank you for giving. We don't have a church where we got a weekend, walk in here every week and beg you to give. You see it, you get it. But let me address some of the younger generation that might not always be in here, or you might not always hear this. We have got to give faithfully unto the Lord, for He has given faithfully unto us. Amen. Glory, greetings, and grace are His conclusion in the 20 through the 23rd verses. Now unto our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. I love that. For the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Glory to God. Pastor, you got a little loud there. I saw a couple people jump when I did that. Sorry. Glory to God. I don't want to give Him soft glory and the Lord loud when He deserves loud praise, when the Lord deserves loud. And I know we've all got our own personalities, but and you've heard the illustration 1,000 times before, but I don't want to yell at a football game. You're a lion in the break room, but you're a mouse in the church house. When you get with the guys and you guys are all hanging out and talking, you're loud and rambunctious, but when you get in the house of God, Pastor, don't be rough on us. I'm just reminding us He's worthy of all the glory and all the honor. Oh, I wish somebody would lift your voice. I wish somebody would give Him great praise in this house. I wish somebody would tell Him He's worthy of all the glory, all the honor. Oh, let's do that. Let's stand all over this place and give Him great praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, stand to your feet. Clap your hands. Lift your voice. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. He's worthy! He is the great King. He is the mighty and the sovereign one. Stand with me. Paul said there will be a church. Here's how I know. He said, salute, greet all the saints, especially those that are in Caesar's house. At this time, Nero being one of the most diabolical leaders of all time, and even up under Nero's nose, because the most ruthless of leaders, listen, Nero couldn't stop it. Past and modern communism cannot stop it. Whether they got to be above ground or underground, there will be a church. There will be a people in every tribe, nation, tongue, every dialect, every skin color. Come on, and they're not going to be saying, Hail Caesar. They're going to be saying, Glory! Glory to the Most High God, whose name is Jesus. And so he starts this final chapter by saying, tell them to end the disagreement. And he closes it by saying, salute them. Greet one another. We're in this together. Because what we're going into right now as the ministers begin to make their way into their positions, those that will be serving, here tonight, what we're walking into in this time of communion as we approach Easter. Remember, we cannot approach resurrection without approaching the cross. There is no resurrection without the cross. It was necessary. It was critical. I want everyone to hear me very clearly tonight. He allowed His body to be broken on our behalf because the church is not supposed to be broken up. He makes us whole. He unifies us. He admonishes us to work together, to love one another. Matthew 26, verses 26 through 28, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and He blessed it and He broke it and He gave it to the disciples and He said, take, eat. This is My body. And with puzzled expressions upon their face, trying to process the moment, He took the cup. And He gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink, drink ye all of it. For this is My blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Paul, how could you write this letter? Because Jesus paid the price. And if He paid the price for those in Philippi, I believe He paid the price for those of us in Indianapolis. We remember Leviticus 16, that Old Testament process where sin would be rolled back once annually on that Day of Atonement. But this was more than an annual lamb. This was the Lamb of God. It was more than the rolling back of sin, but it was the taking away of sin. And so what we do tonight is we must prepare our hearts, our minds, our lives by making repentance before we participate and ultimately proclaim. We will participate spiritually in the sacrifice of Jesus by taking communion. We too will take the symbolic understanding in this sacrament of His body and His blood. And by doing so, we proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ and His gospel. We receive these elements of the Lord's Supper, knowing this is more than tradition or custom, but it is our belief in the price that He paid for us. And we know that as often as we do this, we do it in remembrance of Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us the cup of blessing which we bless. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ, the bread which we break? Is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many, we're one bread. We're one body. We're all partakers of that one bread. The understanding of our personal participation here tonight, it is my honor to facilitate this moment, but it is my weighty reminder that we must take evaluation of our hearts and our minds. Communion, the Greek, koinonia, it is the understanding, the fellowship, the common unity that we are in, not just with each other, but with the Lord Jesus Christ. But in order to do this properly, First Corinthians 11 and 28 tells us we must examine ourselves, for it reads, a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. Before we even are dismissed and come and get the cups, before we get the bread, before we get this, what represents for us here tonight, the body and the blood. One thing that has always bothered me about the story is how casually Judas supped with them. So where you are, I ask you to begin to talk to the Lord. And let every man and every woman invite God into examination of yourself right now. Forgive me, O God. If there be any wrong thought, if there be any wrong action, search not only the surface, but even the recesses of my heart and my mind. Let there be no hidden sin in me. Let there be no places I've left unreserved for you. Parts of my heart that I withhold, parts of my mind that foster frustration, disagreement, or false doctrine. No, I want there to be no part of me that is kept from you. Examine me, O God. Someone begin to lift your voice in repentance. O God, forgive me. Elders, I feel to call you to lead us right now in prayer. Come on, as you repent, I want you to also have that prayer of unity. Help me to be a fellow laborer with the body, unified with the body. Come on, the strength of our convictions. Without contention, without festering disagreement, without hidden sin. Oh, we pray it. Oh, we pray it. Come on, this is the preparation. I know most of you have been praying. Many of you have been praying and preparing leading to this service, but this is our moment to do it unified as one body, as one bread together. Bind us together, O God. We are bound together by our faith in you. We are bound by the doctrine. Oh, Jesus. Clean hands. Cleanse us, O God. I want everyone that has been tasked tonight. Most of you can see them from your sections, but everyone that has been tasked and you are serving tonight, would you, if you can, lift one hand and wave towards the congregation? You'll see them at every intersection. I so honor the attendance tonight and those that are here in this size and scope of the crowd. The person that is in front of your particular section, we will be asking you to exit and come down and come before them, and they are going to serve you. One thing I never want to lose in the church is that we are people of movement. We go to Christ. We confess unto Him. We move unto Him, and we believe that ministry is service. And so we are going to serve tonight. We're serving unto the body. At this time, for each and every one that will be partaking of communion, I think to expedite this the best, Brother John, does it matter if they go to the left or the right? It doesn't matter. So I'm gonna help you out this way. Everyone is gonna exit to the right of your section. This is your right, okay? Gonna exit to the right, march in front, and then come down, and we'll just do these rows at a time. I know it's Wednesday. We're gonna take a little time with this. This is sacred for us. It won't take us long, but we'll take our time. So if you would go ahead and begin to exit and come before and allow yourself to be served, each section, this will only take a few moments. Please come quickly and allow yourself to be served. Please come now. Please come now. Please come now. Go ahead, young people. Go ahead. Go ahead, those that are being served here. Thank you. Thank you. Pastor Lopez, if you will come. Serve you. God bless you. I'm asking you to be mindful if there are any elders near you that it would be hard for them. If you will please be mindful and take one to them, that would be appropriate and appreciated. Oh, what a beautiful congregation. Saints of the Most High God. Saints of the Most High God. Our young people are receiving communion tonight in their class. Aren't we thankful that the next generation wants to live for God too? Somebody say amen. They told me the other night at their youth service, they had 180 people in attendance at their youth service the other night. In a world that's trying to say kids don't want to live for God, I say the devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I understand the manufactured process of this, and for the moment and the size of this, obviously we're not breaking unleavened bread and just passing it from person to person and passing around a cup. But within the symbolism of this, most familiar, I would like for everyone to begin to prepare. You'll recognize on the one side represents the blood and one side represents the body. I would ask you to go ahead and begin to take the tab of the body and get that piece of the bread, the body prepared in this moment. First Corinthians 11, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he break it. And he said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Please take of the bread. Jesus. If you will turn that over in preparation. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Please partake. Oh God, we give you praise in this house. Oh, let there be sovereign praise and worship and thanksgiving. We praise you. Oh, that's it. Lift your voice. Let's worship our sovereign God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Oh, let's take a little time. Lift your voice. Let your praise, let your worship, let your thanksgiving. Oh, thank you. Thank you for your body. Thank you for the breaking of the body. Thank you for the shedding of the blood. Thank you for allowing me to be a partaker. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of the church. Thank you for letting me be a part of the body of Christ. The body of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, would you just begin to give him thanks all over the room? Thanksgiving, thanksgiving, thanksgiving. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We are thankful tonight to be a part of the body of Christ. One bread, one body. Oh, I feel that. So strongly here tonight, one bread, one body. Why would you partake of his body? Why would you partake of the blood? For we are in fellowship with him. And our fellowship one with another is because we are in fellowship with him. He is the king of our life. He is the keeper of our being. Not just our life, but our eternity rests in him. He is our everything. Oh, Rose of Sharon, we praise you. Fairest of 10,000 to my soul, I give you praise. Mighty God, we magnify you here tonight. Glory and honor to you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Did you do something here tonight that I think is very fitting before you leave this house, this place of fellowship with God and brothers and sisters? Would you take a moment and would you greet fellow laborers? We don't always look at each other as such, but we should. We should look at each other as fellow laborers for the cause of Christ. Would you greet those around you? Would you let them know you're glad to be a part of the body of Christ with them?